Well, since the Prime Minister's declaration on Monday passed that there should be no unnecessary travel, I have been amazed sitting here on the Ban Road at how the stream of traffic, the usual stream of traffic, has been drying up as the week has progressed. Yes, there are the agricultural vehicles, the necessary agricultural vehicles that go through from time to time, but the usual stream of lorries and buses and cars has been drying up, and it has been amazing how quiet the road has been. Maybe your road has been the same as well. Last time we were in 1 Kings, we heard how the prophet Elijah was sent to the brook Cherith to sit by a stream. Presumably that was for his personal protection, because he had been announcing to King Ahab there would be a drought in the land, and until God said so, there wouldn't be any rain. And Elijah had gone out into the desert to sit by that brook, to drink the water off it, and also to be fed by the ravens as God supplied his need. And there he was learning in the school of prayer, in the school of personal holiness and walking with God, what it meant to be a man of God and what it meant to walk with God and to discover that God was adequate to meet your needs. And I want this morning, as we move the story on a little bit, just to see three things that got him through, and three things that will get us through this emergency time. The first is this, that we should be listening to God's word. In this passage of scripture, there are six times that the word of the Lord is mentioned in 1 Kings chapter 17. Verse 1, 2, 5, 8, 16 and 24 all talk about the word of the Lord. That's a reminder to us that it wasn't King Ahab on the throne who was in charge. It wasn't even Elijah, the prophet, who was in charge. It was God's word. God was guiding and God was directing. It was God who was giving the lead in the nation at that time for those who had ears to hear. I've been amazed this week that the government has pushed ahead with the abortion, the liberalizing of the abortion laws, allowing abortion up to 3 months without any limitations. Even though 79% of the people in Northern Ireland who responded to the consultation said they were against these liberalizing laws, the government announced this week of all weeks to make the announcement that these things would go ahead, not listening to God's word. I encourage you to be unlike those who are in government and to be someone who is listening for what God is saying and to live obedient to God's word. That's what Elijah had to learn in his day. The people had gone far away from God. They were worshipping false gods, Baal gods, fertility gods, gods of totem poles and things like that, a false religion. And Elijah was a man who had to live by what God said. And I encourage you to be listening to what God has said and to let your life be guided by his word. I don't know about you, but whenever life's busy, I sometimes say to myself, you know, I wish I had more time to read the Bible and more time to think about what scripture is saying. Well, now we don't have that excuse anymore. We have the time. Most of us have got a lot of time. This is a good time to give ourselves to listening to God's word and to understanding what it is saying to our lives. The second thing I want to talk about, yes, is listening to God's word, but this passage also teaches us about putting faith into practice. Elijah is sent to a place called Zarephath in Sidon. And as he goes to that place, there's a widow gathering sticks. It's a place of grinding poverty. This widow is gathering sticks. She's got a little flour in her jar and she's got a little oil in a jug, and that's it. And she says to Elijah that she's going to bake a little bread for her and for her son, and then they're going to eat it and they're going to die. The last thing she needs is another mouth to feed. But Elijah asks her for bread first, that she should bake him bread first. And the way in which he puts it is this. He says, "For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says, the jar of flour will not be used up, and the jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord gives rain on the land." You see, here's a woman and the word of God is coming to her life. Is she going to believe that God is adequate to meet her needs, or is she going to refuse this word of the Lord? And what she does is she trusts God's word. And this miracle is not a one-off miracle for a one-off meal. this is going to be a daily miracle. There's always going to be flour as long as the drought endures. There's always going to be oil as long as the drought endures. We sometimes sing the hymn, "Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning." Well, this woman has got flour in her jar, keep me baking, if I could put it like that. And that's what she's doing. She is trusting God's word. She is putting it into practice in her household. And she's living it out day by day, having given herself, surrendering herself, wagering her all that God was true. And she gives herself, she surrenders to God and to the truthfulness of who he is and of what he has said. And you know, in our times, in our domestic arrangements, whatever house we're in, we are all tested by these circumstances. Alison's prayer earlier picked up on some of those themes. Tempers are maybe frayed. There are shortages in foodstuffs and newspapers and the like. There are things not the way we would want them to be. We're all cooped up together. But this is the time to put our faith into practice. This is the time to live out our faith in our homes in a way we've maybe never done before. If we call ourselves Christians, to act like Christians, to live, to be God-like, to be Jesus-like. What would Jesus do in these circumstances? He was a man who lived by faith, a man who trusted God's word. The just shall live by faith. And the challenge to you and to me is likewise to live by faith. If we call ourselves Christians, if we call ourselves followers of Jesus Christ, that we would in our home lives prove that in the daily experiences of life. So to get Elijah through, he was listening to God's word. He was putting faith into practice. Thirdly, this man was someone who was believing in God's grace. And that will get you and I through as well. You see, God had sent him to this place called Zarephath of Sidon, which was actually outside of the promised land. It was up in the north. Sidon was a coastal town, and Sidon was a district behind the coastal town, and Zarephath was in that district. The word Zarephath actually, just by the way, means smelting place. And we thought about this at our midweek on Wednesday. How in a place of smelting, ore is heated and impurities are removed and the pure metal is left behind. It's interesting that this place is where Elijah is sent by God, because heat is being applied to Elijah's life. Heat is being applied to the widow's life. God cares for widows. God cares for orphans, and we too should care for those who are in need. But here we discover in this place, Elijah discovers that God's grace is even for people who aren't Israelites. God has people to save, and he has sent Elijah to speak the word to this woman. And this woman comes, as we've seen already, to trust God's word, and God's grace is at work even in these straitened circumstances, even in these difficult times. Jesus actually used this story in Luke chapter 4. He was preaching his first sermon in Nazareth in the synagogue. And after the sermon, he has told the people of how in the Messianic age, God isn't just going to save Jews anymore. He's also going to save Gentiles. The people were incensed. And they took Jesus and they prepared to throw him off a cliff. And Jesus used this story to support his case. That yes, there were many widows in Israel at that time, but God chose the widow in Zarephath, a Gentile widow, to send Elijah to for support and help. You see, our God is a God of grace. Our God is a God who chooses people, who calls people to trust in him. And this woman had discovered that grace of God. And this woman had discovered the richness of life in a most unlikely place, a most unlikely woman. But this is a woman in receipt of the grace of God. And that will keep us going in these difficult times, trusting that God's grace is adequate for our needs and that God's grace is at work in our lives as we seek to work it out in our daily experience. We finish with one other example of a man who was an unlikely recipient of the grace of God in a very unlikely place. His name was Billy Spence. Billy Spence was a docker in Belfast. He was someone we would say nowadays who had a drink problem. He was foul-mouthed. And he was also a street fighter. He knew what it was to handle himself, and he was often involved in fights and was feared. He was known to be a real hard man. One day he went for a walk. He lived on the Shankill Road, and you can walk from the Shankill Road down into the centre of Belfast. And there was an outdoor meeting taking place. And he heard the preacher say this. The preacher said, "Oh," he said, "that I could get each and every one of you to give just 10 minutes to think about eternity." And you know, Billy Spence went away. And for 2 days, he came under a great conviction of his sin, eternity. What would happen to him in eternity? And on the muddy floor of the dredger in which he worked in the harbour in Belfast, he got down on his knees in the mud and he asked God for mercy, for salvation, and he got saved. He received the grace of God and his life was changed in a most remarkable way. And Billy Spence, you know, became an evangelist across Belfast. He even went to America and Canada to preach as opportunities were given to him because he was such an amazing example of the grace of God. And this woman, this widow of Zarephath, is likewise just such an amazing example. Folks, believing in the grace of God will get us through. Putting our faith into practice, especially in our homes, will get us through. And listening to God's word will get us through. Elijah did all of those things and they got him through. If you and I do these things as well, we'll come forth as gold. We will discover the hope of the gospel. The smelting place brings us to a place of hope, to maturity, to strength in our faith, where we will be like Christ, where we will be ready to serve him as opportunity arises. And let's keep trusting God for these times and believing that God is doing things that we wouldn't believe even if we were told about them beforehand. May God bless you. Thank you for listening. And may you not just be a hearer of the word, but also a doer of the word, for Jesus' sake. Amen.